If you enjoyed the book Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, how about the sequel, Judaism and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, the fabulous journey of a man with no sense of direction? If you're a poetry lover, you might prefer the sequel to the Norton Anthology, the Ed Norton Anthology of Underground Poetry. These and dozens of other spin-offs are proposed in the new Book of Sequels, co-authored by humorist Christopher Cerf. The authors are sure there's lots of money in literary sequels, as well as the more obvious movie sequels. They took their inspiration from one publisher's decision to pay $4.9 million for a sequel to Gone with the Wind. Chris Cerf was a co-founder of the National Lampoon, has written many song parodies for Sesame Street, and is the co-author of several other humor books. In the new book, he proposes a spin-off of Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot, Godot Action Comics.
We figure that some people have found the original Waiting for Godot a little impenetrable, a little dull sometimes, not much action. So we figured an action comic is what we needed to bring that to a broader audience, which of course is our main purpose in doing this book.
Who did you get to illustrate the Godot action comics?
It was done by a fellow named Russ Heath, who has done a lot of, you know, sort of Marvel Comics work and old classic comics and is really right for the style. And it really came out great.
It's great because it's these action guys kind of sitting around brooding.
Well, there isn't much for them to do. That's true. They examine a bush for a while, and then they stand and talk about that for a while, and they just, you know, they wait for Godot, just like the original. I think we've really caught the spirit of the original.
One of the many things that you've been doing over the years is writing songs, those little rock and roll parodies for Sesame Street.
That's right.
Did you want to be a rock and roll, did you want to have a rock and roll band when you were younger?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was definitely a dream. And the great thing about Sesame Street is that if you don't mind that your audience is only 3 years old, you can do anything you want. You know, I mean, you can be a rock star one day, you can write an opera the next day, or a showbiz tune the next day, and we try to do a little bit of all of that. And the main thing on that show has been that we want the adults to like it, too. The rule is that you can't write something that the kids won't understand at all and know that they didn't understand it so that they feel that they've been left out. But if you can do something that works on their level that also amuses the adults, that just increases the audience and makes the adults watch with the kids, and all that's good for the learning. So it's really encouraged.
There's a new collection of Sesame Street rock and roll videos. And one of the songs that you wrote for that collection of videos, or that's featured on that collection of videos, is I Can't Get No Cooperation, performed by the Cobblestones.
Right.
Now, are there copyright laws that you have to obey when you're parodying famous people's famous songs?
Absolutely. Though nobody knows exactly what the rules are, but you really don't copy the tune. You have to try to suggest the tune and suggest the words, but you can't use the original ones. And if you do, you can be sued. But most of the time, we stayed away from that. That came up in the sequels book, too. We were going to do a parody of featuring the Bambi characters of a movie called Bambo that was going to be a cross between Rambo and Bambi. And the line that went with it was that they killed his mother, now it's time to get even. And in fact, we'd made a little postcard of that and brought it to the book convention, and we were notified very quickly that there would be injunctions against the book and all kinds of things if we tried to use those characters. So we left it out finally. And indeed, that was a case where we had gone over the line, because we were using not just a copyrighted name, you know, and certainly parody is encouraged by free speech, but you can't use trademarks, and the Bambi character was a trademark. So there are rules. Nobody knows exactly where the line is, but parody is generally okay as long as you can see that it's not trying to trade on the original.
Titles, you can parody titles without any problems.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, sure.
Have you ever been sued?
Actually, yes. We were sued for a Sesame Street song called Letter B that was a parody of Let It Be. And we weren't sued by the Beatles, who in fact wrote an affidavit on our behalf, but by someone who had bought the copyright to that song, an Australian firm. And eventually it was settled out of court. But it does make you stop and think. And probably we might have gotten a little closer than we should have to that tune. Though actually it was settled for $500, so it looks like we would have won the case if it had gone all the way.
Yeah, that's not exactly a grand settlement.
No, since they originally sued us for $5.5 million, I figure $500 was a pretty good settlement. The funny part of that was that Michael Jackson by this time owed the company, so I had to write the check to Michael Jackson, who I'm sure needs the money more than I did.
Well, let's see what you did with I Can't Get No Cooperation by the Cobblestones. You wrote the music for this, yes?
Yes, I wrote the music, and tried to do a Mick Jagger imitation as well, though.
Oh, you're singing on it?
Yeah, though you'll see that it doesn't sound too much like him.
Well, that means he won't sue you.
Well, we hope not. Well, I'm sitting on a seesaw seat, thinking seesawing would be me. And I can't find a friend to sit on the other side. Yes, I tried it all alone, but I crashed down like a stone. Couldn't get no cooperation if I tried. No, 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 no cooperation. No, 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 no cooperation. No, 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 no cooperation if I tried. If I tried.
There's a Muppet based on you who sometimes sings the songs that you wrote. Who designed the Muppet?
Actually, it was based on a Muppet that Jim Henson designed years ago called Fat Blue. In fact, if you watch Sesame Street closely, you'll see that that Fat Blue character is the basis of a lot of things that are known as anything Muppets. You slap a different wig on them or glasses or a different costume, and they look different. And basically what they did was put curly hair that looked a little like mine and glasses that looked a little like mine on the Fat Blue Muppet, and gave him a piano, which usually gets broken in the course of performing any of these songs, and I get to sing, which is really fun.
What's it been like to work on Sesame Street since the death of Jim Henson? How have you been affected by that, in terms of your work?
Well, it's been a very sad year because not only Jim Henson, but Joe Raposo, who was our principal composer, died within the last year as well. So, I mean, I think really all of us have been doing this so long. It's hard to believe, but the show is in its 22nd year now. But because we all stayed together pretty much, you don't really feel that all that time has passed. And I don't think any of us expected these things to happen. And Joe and Jim, of course, are still pretty young guys, or would have been. So we took it pretty hard. But I think, you know, the show will go on. And, of course, Jim built an incredible group of performers, and all the rest of them are still there. So, you know, a lot of those characters were played by other people. So really only Kermit and Ernie are missing at the moment, and we have 20 years of them on tape. So the show looks pretty much the same still. I think it made us all feel what a family we all were, you know, so that we've all gotten even closer, and everybody worked extra hard to fill the gap. So it's been an exciting year in a way, though it's certainly been a sad one.
Did the Sesame Street people do anything at the funeral about their work for Sesame Street?
Well, there was work included, because some of Jim's most famous work was on our show. And one of the nicest moments, I think, was that Carol Spinney, who plays Big Bird, appeared in the bird costume and sang It's Not Easy Being Green, which, since he was yellow, would sound weird, but it was incredibly touching and made everybody cry. The whole service was remarkable because it was filled with music and puppet performances and jokes.
Yeah.
Jim had left instructions in a series of letters that he wrote of exactly what songs he wanted at his funeral, which included things like Lydia the Tattooed Lady. But the whole thing was, it just made it all sadder. But definitely there were Sesame Street characters and things included throughout.
Why do you think he wrote down instructions for his death? Do you think he had any idea he was going to go?
I don't, really, though. I mean, Jim was a very spiritual, kind of mystical guy. I mean, besides all the nonsense, he had that side. And one of the letters said that he was interested in death, but that I don't think he was expecting it quite so quickly. He also said that you might think this is a little weird, but you can't argue with me now, can you, because I'm gone. You know, the letters were very funny, but of course, when you hear something funny under those circumstances, it just makes you fall apart, which is what we all keep doing, even several months later.
Right. How did you get started in comedy?
Gosh, that's a hard question. I think a combination of things. My dad was Bennett Cerf, who was a publisher first, but loved to collect jokes. So we had a lot of jokes at our house. And I think I never could compete with him as a joke teller, so I kind of got more interested in conceptual comedy. But I certainly learned to see the silly side of things. And then when I got off to Harvard, I went out for the Harvard Lampoon and made it. And a lot of the people I still work with have had a lot to do with the Lampoon over the years. In fact, Henry and Doug started National Lampoon, Henry Beard and Doug Kenny, because they just didn't want to stop doing Harvard Lampoon when college ran out. And that gave us all a chance to go back and keep doing what we loved doing so much in college. And in fact, you know, doing things like the sequels book or writing these silly songs for Sesame Street is really the same job that I've had since I was a kid. So I've never had to grow up.
I want to change gears for a minute and end on end with something for the kids. You know, everybody's shopping for holiday gifts. And you have a suggestion from the Book of Sequels. If you don't want to buy Nintendo, you've got something else.
Yes, we do. We noticed that there hadn't been much existentialist literature brought into the field of video games. And we decided that was an important and valuable thing to do. So we've developed Albert Camus' Myth of Sisyphus video game. It works very well at first. You push the rock up a hill and you get a lot of points. But before you're through, every time, in fact, the rock will turn on you. You have to chase it. It will catch up with you and you will end up losing to the rock very badly.
And the game is called?
Albert Camus' Myth of Sisyphus video game from the Existendo video game company, who also have a wonderful interactive videotape of Crap's Last Tape. And No Exit, No Exit, by the way, is another wonderful Existendo game. Again, you can play for a long, long time without winning, which we feel a lot of people will want to do since they're going to die anyway, let's face it,
there
eventually.
Well, Christopher Cerf, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Well, thank you, Terry.